All right, let's take our Bibles, and for our message tonight, it's not just for the graduates, it's for all of us, but turn to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 24, 2 Chronicles chapter number 24. While you're turning there, just a few other things. There is a work day this Saturday over at Jerry Rice's house. I know he goes to the Hilltop Baptist Church, but I know a lot of you love him very much. He and his wife are really going through a valley right now, as she will be having surgery Wednesday up at Sister's Hospital, uterine cancer. She has a very rare type of cancer, but it's all contained to the uterus, so they believe they're going to be able to get it all. Let's pray to that end, or just pray for her healing completely before that happens. And so they could really use some love and help, and maybe you could talk to me if you can possibly help at all this Saturday. Let's remember Elizabeth, too, the girl from Frontier who was in the car accident. Her mother has attended our church in Angola, Hilltop Baptist, and she was in a horrific car wreck in which the driver died a week ago Saturday. Elizabeth has graduated from high school. I was wrong. She graduated last year, and she is really struggling. And let's pray that she'll be able to do well and come out of this, you know, coma, the induced coma, and all the things that are going on since the car. Actually, I know there's a lot of other prayer requests, and but we want to get into the Word here for a little bit, and I don't know when the pizza's coming. 7:13? Oh, 7:15, okay. All right. Well, that's all right. I got till 7:13. 2 Chronicles 4:24, I've already, by turning to 2 Chronicles, cut out half the sermon. I mean that. But I would like you to just keep your place here and go back to 2 Kings 12. I want to talk about a young man's double life. A young man's double life. And his name was, in 2 Kings, his name is Jehoash. In 2 Chronicles 24, it's Joash, same guy. I just want you to notice one verse about Jehoash. In 2 Kings 12, verse 2, it says, "And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him." Now, our whole story tonight is filled with people whose first name starts with J. And it's hard to keep them all in order, who they are, who's he talking about right now. But we're going to talk about Jehoash tonight, mainly, also known as Joash, in the next book we go to. The story of his life is repeated in the history here in 2 Kings 12 and also in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. He had a mentor who was named Jehoiada, an older fella, who was the priest. And it says in our verse here, Jehoash did that which is right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada, the priest, instructed him. So as long as Jehoiada was there, Jehoash did right. And boy, did he do some right things. Let's go to 2 Kings, or 2 Chronicles now, chapter 24. And we're going to go through the whole chapter here. And I just want to make, I think, three main points and a few subpoints and stuff. But I want you to notice number one is dedication. Now, Joash was the youngest boy to ever become king. He became king of Judah at the age of 7, if you can imagine that. He had a tough life growing up those first 7 years. His grandmother was trying to kill him. What a grandma. Her name was Athaliah. Athaliah was, in my opinion, the second worst woman ever to live on earth. The worst was her mother. What was her name? Jezebel. So Jezebel had a daughter named Athaliah, and she married a guy who became king of Judah. And then they had a son, and he became king of Judah, and he died. And now she became so jealous of the throne that she destroyed all the royal seed. She slaughtered everybody who was going to be heir to the throne. Now that's important to us because she missed one. And there was this great lady named Jehosheba. As far as I'm concerned, she's one of the greatest ladies in all of history. Jehosheba, if anyone ought to be given a Medal of Honor, it ought to be Jehosheba, because she preserved the royal seed, which was down to one little boy, one little baby boy, and that seed preserved the line to Jesus Christ, and his name was Joash. Now, Joash was hidden by Jehosheba for 6 years in her house. And can you imagine trying to hide a boy for 6 years? You know how boys are. But she did it. And then finally, when he became 7 years of age, they said, look, it's time we get rid of this Athaliah lady, queen. And so they, you know, got all these rulers and princes together, and they put Joash up on the throne as a seven-year-old king, and they blew trumpets and everything, and Athaliah, she didn't like what she heard. But to make a long story short, she was killed. And Joash becomes the king of Judah at 7 years of age. And as we already saw, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the time that Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So in other words, Jehoiada was his mentor. And for you that are young people, we are under mentors. It's part of God's plan for our lives to be under mentors for at least a while in our lives. Even the New Testament says in Galatians 4:1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now, we're not, we don't have tutors and governors. We have teachers and schools and colleges and professors, and we have churches and pastors, and the Lord has given us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. It is God's will that all of us, all of our lives, be under somebody. We're under our parents for a while, and then we go off into marriage. Amen, Kiesha? Yeah, no. Then we have to live by the rules of marriage according to the scripture. We go to a job, and we have to obey, the scripture says, our employer. And we have to serve our employer as though we were serving Christ. That's what the Bible says. And we're under governors and mayors and presidents and all kinds of authority all of our lives. But sometimes the only mentor left after we grow up and get out of the home and out of school and everything is the pastor. It's one of the only mentors we have left in our lives sometimes. Or a good Christian elder in the church who's taken us under his wing, or we look up to, and teachers in the church. We ought to always be under mentors. And Joash did very, very, very well. He did very well as long as Jehoiada the priest was alive. But let's read through his history, and we'll have to read faster. I want you to notice number one is his dedication. In verses 1 through 14, I'm going to read fast, but notice the dedication of this young man. Now, his ministry, his reign as king is going to last 40 years. So what we're going to read in one chapter is actually 40 years of history. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah, the of Beersheba, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Well, that's like the verse we read earlier, where it just simply says all the days that Jehoiada instructed him. And you know, we ought to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. We need to remember, no matter who we are, how young or old, God is watching us. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. God's always watching us, and God is always determining. God is going to write something about us someday for all of eternity in his book of remembrance. And I hope he can say, Art Cole did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I hope he can say that. And I hope you can have that as one of your goals in life. Because all that matters when this life ends is what God thinks about you. It's about the only thing that's going to matter. He did that which was right. And all the days of Jehoiada the priest, some things I don't understand in the Bible, such as verse 3. And Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. Verse 4, and it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. What a wonderful thing for a young man. Because the house of the Lord, as we're going to read, had been destroyed by Athaliah, by Ahaziah, and by all the priests, and the things had become dedicated to a demon god named Balaam. The temple had become desecrated. Let's read. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said unto them, go out into the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not. I don't know, maybe because he was just a young punk to them, like, who's this guy telling us what to do? I don't know. And the king called Jehoiada the chief, now this is his mentor, and said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? Now here's an example where the student is telling the mentor what he should be doing. Jehoiada is a great man. I'm going to show you how great Jehoiada is here in a minute. There's something unique about Jehoiada that can be said about no other man in history. And we'll get to that in a minute. But in this case, he just got kind of lackadaisical about the house of God and taking up the collections to fix up the place. But this young man had a heart for God, did that which was right in the sight of God, and loved the house of God. Today we would say he loved the church. He loved going there. And Jehoiada and the priests, they were kind of like apathetic. And so here's this young king, and he gets Jehoiada, his own mentor, and says, well, what's going on? Where's the money? Why aren't we getting this job done? Now here's the history of what had happened. Verse 7, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God. And also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. That's a demon god. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now, it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance, and the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and work was perfected by them. And they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, his mentor, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, in spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. Now, wouldn't it be nice if the story ended there? What a story of a young man who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, loved the house of God, even went over and above the high priest and said, okay, Jehoiada, if you don't want to do this, I'll do this. He got a chest. Another scripture says he bore a hole in it. People brought money in, princes and people, and they finally fixed up the house of God after it had been desecrated for decades, and they made it beautiful. And just like God wanted, what a wonderful thing for a young man to do. Verse 15, bought. Boy, when you read that word in the Bible, you know something's coming. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. You know, our mentors, our older mentors are going to die someday. The people that have tried to help us walk with God and the men, the women, the elders, the ones that brought me up in the little church I grew up in, they're all gone. They're all in heaven now. They've gone to their reward. But I want you to notice number two, his downfall, in verses 17 through 22. We've seen his dedication, now we see his downfall. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel. Why? Both toward God and toward his house. Did you notice something unique in verse 16 about Jehoiada that can be said about no other man that we know of in all of history? What is it? He's buried with the kings. He was a priest. But he was buried with the kings. Wow. What an honor. Why? It tells us why in the rest of verse 16. Because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now there's an honorable life right there. If you and I can do good towards Israel, that is, do good towards God's people, number one. Do good towards God, number two. And do good towards God's house, number three. Live for others. Live for God. Live for his house. And he had a royal burial. When Jehoiada died, they buried him with the kings. That's unique. Now, verse 17, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah. Uh-oh. These are his peers. These are the ones he grew up with. These are the ones his age. This is not the old goat, Jehoiada. What does he know? These old timers, what do they know? And they made obeisance unto him. So here's all his peers bowing down to him in verse 17. Notice the last statement. Then the king hearkened unto them. This is his downfall. A, his mentor died. B, he listened to his peers. C, verse 18, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers. Three strikes, you're out. Have you ever noticed, we have graduates tonight, have you ever noticed how many have left the house of God? Yes. Or maybe she was saying, no, don't do that. Man, good timing. No. Never. Of course, Cajun Christian, we love you, but someday your mentors are going to die. You know? Parents, pastors, they're getting old. Your peers are going to tell you what to do. And they're going to try to get you to leave the house of God. Going to try to get you to leave the house of God. There's been a whole lot of train wrecks in some of these that have left the house of God. You know, one of the things about the house of God is even a church like ours, which isn't very big, but there's always going to be some mentors here. There's always some ladies here who love the Lord, who know the Word of God, who know how to pray, how to get a hold of God, who know how to give you counsel. then they can help you to walk circumspectly through this life so that you don't have to have a downfall. You don't have to have a downfall. Three things there that led to his downfall. And they left the house of the Lord, verse 18, of their fathers, and to serve groves. You're always going to substitute something with something else, and idols. Boy, look at the idols today, sports and money and the things of this world. And everybody that leaves the house of the Lord begins to serve something else. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this, their trespass. Yeah, God is watching us, and God is affected by our behavior. But God in his love, verse 19, sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. God gives people a time and a space to repent, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. So he's listening to his peers, but not to his prophets. And God has always, even in the worst times of this world, God has always had prophets. He's always had preachers that in love want to tell us what to do and want to guide us. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Zechariah. Now, notice who Zechariah is, verse 20, the son of Jehoiada the priest. Who is Jehoiada the priest? His mentor, right? Now here's his son. Jehoiada, while he's alive, has a son named Zechariah. And Jehoiada and Joash were just such good friends. Jehoiada mentored Joash, and he did right and helped Israel and helped the house of God and everything. But then Jehoiada died, and Zechariah, his son, now comes. And the Spirit of God comes upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also hath forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of who? Who's the king? Joash. What'd Joash say? Kill him. You'd think somebody would say, but Joash, that's your mentor's son. That's the one who helped you so much during the first season of your reign as king. That's his son. But Joash is now so far away from the Lord, he despises God's people. And he commands that Zechariah be stoned, and they kill his mentor's son at the commandment of Joash the king. What a downfall. Thus, verse 22, Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. No fear of God there whatsoever. What a downfall. What a downfall. And tonight let us remember why. Three things. A, his mentor died. B, he listened to his peers. And C, he left the house of God. Now I want to say this with as much love as I can in my heart, but you that are teenagers, there's not many of your peers that are very spiritually minded today. There's not many of them. There might be some, but there's not many of them. And many of them will try to take you away from the Lord and away from the house of the Lord. Now, there might be some good ones around, and sometimes we see that, like when we go to, you know, we have some in church here, good young people that feed off of each other and go to tri-states, and there's some that really want to serve God, but there's not a lot. I would encourage you to get your advice from older people, from elders, for the wisdom of your life, and not from those of your generation. Although there's some outstanding ones, there's not a lot. I mean, think about your high school experience that you just went through. How many do you remember in your class that was just sold out to Jesus Christ, lock, stock, and barrel, completely devoted to the Bible and winning souls and finding and doing God's will? How many did you go to school with? I didn't go to school with many at Orchard Park. In fact, I was one of the guys that was trying to be the spiritual leader, but I fizzled out. Number three, in closing, his destruction and death. Verse 23, and it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him. You know, God can make our lives hard if we get backslidden and far away from God. He can stir up adversaries against us. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus, for the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men. And the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers, so they executed judgment against Joash. He's our subject tonight. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, whatever that means, it doesn't sound good, for his servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada, the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchers of the kings. So his mentor, Jehoiada the priest, got buried in the sepulcher of the kings, but he didn't, because he finished so horribly. And then it tells us about those that conspired against him. Now concerning his sons and the greatness of the burdens laid upon them and the repairing of the house of God, behold, they are written in the book of the Kings. Well, there we see his destruction and his death, God's judgment. God reigns in the affairs of every person. We can kind of hope we can live a life where he just leaves us alone. Leave me alone, God, but he's not that kind of a father. He disciplines, he does it in love, he gives us space to repent, he sends us prophets, he sends us advice, he wants us to come back. To you that are graduating tonight and to everybody else here, especially the young people, my advice is this, that you have some good mentors in your life. And to find them, pretty much you're going to have to stay in church. There's not a lot anymore. It used to be the institution of the public school was a godly institution. It taught the Bible, had prayers, had guidance counselors that would help us to do the right things. I'm sure there's a few good adults in a lot of different places these days. But I want to encourage you to stay in church. And when your mentor dies or your mentors die, there'll be others you can lean on. But eventually, I want to encourage you young people to become the mentors of the next generation. We're going to need you. There's so few. We need someone who knows the Bible, someone who knows the God of the Bible, and someone who can give counsel and advice. And hopefully there'll be a day when somebody leans on you. Stay in the house of God and watch out for the counsel of your peers. I'm sure they mean well, but what they're going to teach you is what James, the apostle, called the epistle called the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world. What, did you ever hear the wisdom of the world? Oh, you're having trouble, get divorced. Just cash it in, give up, quit, go on. Go on with your life. It's your life, and that's the wisdom of the world. Man alive. I could give you a lot of examples, but I'm going to stop here. We just want you to know, you graduates and you young people, that we love you here in the house of God. Don't leave the house of God. Stay in church, even if it's not cool. We're not here to be cool. If it's not cool, just stay in church. If people laugh at you for it, just say, well, why don't you come along with me and see what it's about? Maybe they'll learn something. Amen. And for us that are older, let's be good mentors. Let's be here for them. Use the knowledge God has given you about life to help them, because it's a difficult world, but help them in their steps along the way. Let us pray. Father, we have studied tonight a young man's double life. And Lord, it all began to crash and burn when his mentor died. But prior to that, Lord, he did so well. And Lord, we want to pray for young people who start out well and finish well. We know that's possible too from many stories in the scriptures. And so, Lord, give us grace. We pray you'd bestow your grace upon those that have recently graduated. And we pray, Lord, please, I pray in Jesus' name that they would stay in church, be careful what they listen to from people their age, although there's some wonderful young people their age, there's some that'll just slowly lead them astray. This world has a way of very, very, very slowly pulling us away from God. Lord, we pray we'd fight that temptation every day. Lord, we pray for great mentors, men and women, spiritual men and women, elders, older women, older men that can always be here and be available to counsel those that need advice. And now, Lord, we ask for thy blessing, especially upon Kiesha and Christian. We thank you for this accomplishment in their life. We celebrate that tonight. We're so grateful for our friendship with them for so long. God bless them. We pray that would continue. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.